Let me say it one more time. When we come to Jesus, we will receive new life. Now, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he had the right protocol. Notice in verse 2 that Nicodemus called Jesus a rabbi. So in other words, he came and he said, "Rem doctor, I know you've been to school, you're a good teacher. I know that you come from God because when you speak, you are like E.F. Hutton, the people are listening." And then he went on to say that, "Jesus, I've looked at your work, and I realize that your ministry has some miraculous work, for you have healed the sick. You even raised the dead. You cast out devils. You gave sight to the blind, and you gave new hope to those who were in despair." So Jesus, no one can do the miracles that you are doing unless God is with him. Now listen, brothers, Nicodemus was operating in the flesh. But Jesus shifted the subject to the spirit. Let me just put a point there. Now, if you want your spiritual life to grow, you got to move from the flesh. Can I say it again? If you want your spiritual life to grow, you got to move from the flesh. And in the same way, if we want our church to grow, we just can't be looking at budgets. Amen, walls. We can't even just look at buildings. We can't even look at liturgy and doctrine. If we want our church to grow, we got to look in the spirit. Because there's something more than just showing up on Sunday morning. There's something more than just going to routine meetings. There's something more that we need than just church history. So Jesus answers Nicodemus, who has lifted him in such a great way, lifted his teaching ability, lifted the miraculous signs and wonders that he is doing. But Jesus said, "Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Now let me put a point there. Our lives are about God's kingdom, not just about where we work, as important as that is, not just about benefits, as important as they are, but our lives ought to focus on the kingdom. Our church's focus ought to be on the kingdom. Amen. Because Jesus turned Nicodemus' focus away from the flesh to the kingdom of God. But Nicodemus in verse 4 was still over here in the flesh. He said, "Now, Lord, how can I be born again? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb?" But Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, Nicodemus, what you need and what we need is new life. Well, make it a little plainer, preacher. Well, brothers and sisters, we need new meaning. We need new vision. We need new purpose. We need new focus. We need new values. We need new priorities. We need new hope. If we are living our lives without meaning and purpose, that means that we need more than what we can see, what we can touch, and what we can feel. We need to be baptized, not just with water, but we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We need the indwelling Spirit of God to live in us. Well, somebody is saying, "Preacher, make it a little bit plainer." Now, when we are born again, we have access to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit but the Spirit of God in Christ that lives in us? Now listen to me. When we are living our lives without the Spirit, it is like being broke, car note behind, mortgage behind, having $1 million in the bank. Let me say it again. It's like being hungry, broke, mortgage payment due, car note due, with money sitting in the bank. When we are living our lives without the Holy Spirit, we are living without the power of God in our lives. And listen to me now, the Holy Spirit is not just concerned about how high we jump on Sunday, but it's also concerned about how straight we walk. That went over somebody's head. The Holy Spirit is not just concerned about our lifting our hands in praise, but it is also concerned about our private prayer life. How we read the scriptures, not just to open the Bible on Sunday, but read it for spiritual growth on Monday through Saturday. Brothers and sisters, when we come to Jesus, we come to receive new life. New vision, new values, new focus, new purpose, and new hope. If you are tired of walking around in despair, if you are tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, then it means that we need this new life that meeting Jesus can bring. Then secondly, brothers and sisters, when the church comes to Jesus, not only do we receive new life, but we receive a model of evangelism. Let me say that again. We receive a model of evangelism. Watch this, brothers and sisters. The church has a great commission, but oftentimes the great commission has become the great omission. Because the word says that we are to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But the sad reality of life is more than 80% of the people in the house of God have never led anyone to Christ. Can I say that one more time? Over 80% of the people in the body of Christ has never led anyone to Christ. So the Lord gives us this model of discipleship. But there's a couple of things I ought to make plain. Now, it is important who your preacher is and who your pastor is. Amen, somebody. But the drawing card is not who stands in the pulpit. It's important what denomination or non-denomination you are a part of, but that's not really our drawing card. As important as it is who are in membership of your local church, but that is not our drawing card. Now notice, brothers and sisters, here in the 14th and 15th verse that Jesus said, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that all who come to him will not perish, but have eternal life. Well, what are you saying, preacher? Well, in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 and 9, and I want you to read it when you get home, you find here that the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses. They said, now Moses, we don't want this change. You bought us out of slavery, but we don't want to come out. We are tired of eating the same old food every day. We are tired of having this manna fall and these quails to come our way. We want to eat like we ate in Egypt. They said, in other words, we eating neck bones and rice while we had steak and potatoes over there. We down here drinking the same old tea every day, and we don't have enough sugar in it. But when we were in Egypt, we had an Arnold Palmer. So they complained against Moses, and they complained against God, and God sent fiery serpents that bit the people, and many of the children of Israel, the word said, died. But then they came to Moses and said, Moses, you got to do something. We can't stand these snakes. So God told Moses to get a pole and put a symbol of a serpent on the pole. And when you hold up the serpent, if the people look at the serpent, they will be healed. Watch this again. Jesus said, just as Moses placed a serpent in the wilderness and lifted it up, even so, watch this, must the Son of Man be lifted up. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying, if we just can't lift our preacher, we just can't lift our church, we just can't lift doctrine, we just can't lift tradition, but we got to lift Jesus. I wish I had a witness in here. We can't just lift a Jesus of culture. We just can't lift a Jesus of fundamentalist Christians. We got to lift a Jesus of the gospel. And men and women, boys and girls, will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here who know that Jesus saves? Anybody here know that Jesus heals? Anybody here know that he is a deliverer? He's a company keeper. He's a mind regulator. The key is we got to bring men and women, boys and girls, to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. Look at somebody and say, lift Jesus. Look at him again and say, lift Jesus. And then finally, brothers and sisters, when the church comes to Jesus, we receive new life. And then we have a model for evangelism. And that model is simply lifting Jesus. And then finally, when the church comes to Jesus, it receives grace. Look at somebody and say, grace. Look at him again and say, grace. Now, I want you to hear me well. A church can do one of two things. We can major in condemnation, or we can major in grace. I'm going to say that one more time. A church can either major in condemnation, or a church can major in grace. But let me tell you the problem with grace. The problem with grace is sometimes church people can't stand grace. Because sometimes grace becomes disgusting to folk who already think they are righteous. Can I make it just a little bit more plainer? See, because not really here at Flipper Temple, but I'm talking about other churches. Amen. Because sometimes church folk believe that because they come to church, they may be a little better than the folks who don't come every Sunday. Or maybe because they don't have a public drinking problem, they're a little better than that person who drinks. Or maybe because they have their sexuality a little bit more under control than other folks, they think that they're a little better than they are. And sometimes churches are like Nicodemus. They sneak in at night, church folk, I mean. Sneak in at night where you can't see the wrong. And then sometimes we come up in here acting sanctimonious, condemning others. But watch this, brothers and sisters. God's grace has a whosoever component. And watch this now. God's grace is not who we can keep out, but who we can bring in. Now, if it is our church, we can tell folks you ain't got no business in here on Sunday morning because you ain't dressing right, you don't smell right, you don't look right, and you don't love right. So you ain't got no right in our church. But if it's God's church, and if the church is really big enough for God, can I get a witness here? If the church is big enough for God, it is not about who is kept out, but who we can bring in. Are y'all with me now? It's not about who we can keep out, but it's always about who we can bring in. Now, I want you to listen to me. Sometimes, you know, those of us in the church, we got our own inner circle. And sometimes the circle cannot be penetrated. We love the folks in the circle, but we cannot let anybody else in. That reminds me of the story of an American platoon in World War II that were in France, and they were fighting the German soldiers, and one of their comrades were killed. And they noticed a cemetery near the church. And they went and they asked the priest, could they bury their fallen comrade in the cemetery? And the priest said boldly that this cemetery is for members only. So what they did was they buried their comrade just outside of the gate of the cemetery. And then they went in for the night, and when they got ready to leave the next morning, they decided to go back and visit the gravesite of their fallen comrade. And Brother Hall, to their surprise, during the night, the caretaker took the fence and widened the fence and took it around the gravesite of the fallen comrade, and it came back together. So what the priest kept out, the caretaker bought in. And what God is calling us to do is to be a caretaker. Not just to keep folk out, but to bring folk into the circle. Now watch this. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. It didn't say that he just loved the church. It said he so loved the world. And notice the next word, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now watch this. Whosoever. It didn't say if you keep church doctrine. Didn't just say if you dress right. Didn't say if you speak right. Didn't say those who have good jobs and are able to pay. But it says whosoever believes in him, watch this now, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then watch verse 17, and I'm through. It says that the Lord's mission is not condemnation, but the Lord's mission is grace. I want you to look at verse 17 with me. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now let me say this carefully. And I really want you to hear me when I say this. When the church ceases to give grace, we need to take church off our name. And we need to become a social club. I'm going to say that one more time. When we cease to show grace, then we are no longer worthy of church in our name. Because if there's any place in Southwest Atlanta that folk ought to be able to find grace, it ought to be 580 Atlanta Student Movement. If there's anywhere in downtown Atlanta that men and women, boys and girls, ought to be able to find grace, it ought to be at Flipper Temple. If there's anywhere in this city that people ought to be able to find grace, it ought to be right here. I've been reading one book for about 9 years now. And the title of the book is What's So Amazing About Grace? It's by an author by the name of Philip Yancey. The reason I hadn't been able to finish the book is that every time I get to a certain point of the book, it's so deep I have to stay there for a couple of months. And as I was reading about a couple of years ago, I read about the story of a lady who didn't have money to pay her bills. She was unemployed, so she went into prostitution. And to make matters worse, her daughter was also drawn into prostitution. And one day she got tired of prostitution and she came to Pastor Yancey, who was on the street ministering. And she told him that she was tired of the life she was living and she wanted to know what the church had to offer. And Pastor Yancey looked at the lady and he said, "Sister, why didn't you come to the church earlier?" And she said, "Pastor, already feel bad enough already. I don't want to come to the church and feel worse." Some of y'all missed that. She said, "I feel bad enough already. So I don't want to come to the church and feel worse." And when I paused at the book, I said, what a sad commentary on the church. That a person living in sin felt that if she came to church, she would feel worse in church than she did outside of the body of Christ. I know we can't shout now, so I'm going to try to ease my way out the sermon. But I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me as I ease my way out. So, brothers and sisters, what Greg needs to do is to show more grace. What Harry needs to do is to show more grace. What Rosetta and Vanessa needs to do is we need to show more grace. And the grace don't need to stop up here. Samuel, Paris, the steward boy needs to show more grace. Wainfield, Tyrone, trustee board need to show more grace. Sister Compton in the choir, we need to show more grace. My great ushers, Sister Deborah and Brother Richard and Sister Odette, we need to show more grace. And you're looking at me today to say, "Preacher, why should we show more grace?" Because one day you and I were sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters. From the waters lifted me, now safe, safe, now safe, now safe am I. Come on and give God praise. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us stand where we are all over the sanctuary. The doors of the church are open. And I'm going to ask you just to reach over and touch the hand of the person that's near you. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. The doors of the church are open. If you're in the sanctuary today, you can't show grace unless you have experienced grace. So if you're here today and you're not sure of your salvation, one thing I know for sure, that is the Lord loves you.
Oh, yes, he does.
The Lord loves you. He cares about you and especially you. So if you're in the sanctuary this morning and you have not received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, the Lord offers grace today. He wants you to come and receive him as the Savior and Lord of your life. So the first invitation is for you to receive Jesus Christ. Well, you may say, well, what are the benefits? Well, your sins will be forgiven. You have access to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And eternal life is yours. What great benefits of receiving the Lord. So if you want to be saved, I want you to gently squeeze your neighbor's hand right now.